Welcome to the Rights Radio Power Hour. I'm your host, Dr. Joyce Starr. The Power Hour is brought to you by starpublications.com, that's Star with two R's, and by our media site, rightsradio.com, where consumer, homeowner, health, and safe pet care rights have a permanent address. If you have a problem with a condo or HOA board, click right over to starpublications.com and purchase our homeowner's defense kit. If you want to slash your phone bills, lower your electricity bills, if you care about your shareholder and mortgage rights, cybersecurity rights, hotel security rights, to name just a few of the topics we cover, type rightsradio.com into the URL bar and hit enter. Now listen up and listen in. If you follow the advice of today's guest, you could soon be the proud owner of a zero-pollution car. He's America's most prolific car entrepreneur, an expert commentator on Larry King Live, The Today Show, CNN Headline News, The McNeil Lehrer NewsHour, and more. I'm speaking about Gary Starr, founder, president, and chairman emeritus of Zap Electrical Vehicles. He founded Zap in 1994 and has been a director since the company's inception, serving as chief executive officer from 2000 to 2002 and chairman from 2002 to 2008. Prior to Zap, Gary founded U.S. Electricar's electric vehicle operation in 1983. He's been involved in the design and production of over 100,000 electric vehicles since building his first electric car in 1974 as a UC Davis sophomore. He has several publications to his credit, including Electric Cars, Your Guide to Clean Motoring, and The Shocking Truth of Electric Cars, and also The True Cost of Oil. Welcome, Gary. It's a delight to have you with us today.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Such an exciting time to be talking about electrical cars, and I think we should begin by talking about how you entered this field in the first place.
Well, it was back in the 1970s. If you remember, that was our very first so-called oil crisis during the oil embargo. And gas, people actually had gas rationing, and we were standing in line for gas. So, like going to school, I thought there was a better alternative. And after about 8 months of research, I built my own hand-built electric car.
And that now, that's pretty exceptional, though. I mean, eight months of research and you build your own car?
Well, it wasn't that fancy at the time and didn't look that pretty, but it worked. And it put it together with a student budget, which at the time I was, and that it convinced me that perhaps a better alternative to gas vehicles really did exist.
Now, was the first car called the Zebra? And if so, what does it mean?
Well, the vehicle we have that we're now selling, yes, we call the Zebra line. And it really, it was just a name that's, it's actually spelled with an X instead of a Z, but it kind of reminds us of the zebra animal with a Z, because it's kind of quiet, it's a little unusual, and it definitely stands out in a crowd. But the important thing about it is that it doesn't consume any gas at all.
So it's not a hybrid.
No, these are 100% plug-in. All you do to recharge is plug them into your standard electrical outlet.
Any outlet?
Any outlet. In fact, the charger that's on board is similar to a computer laptop charger, which is known as a smart intelligent charger. So you can charge any place in the world. You can charge at 110 volts, or if you happen to have a 220 outlet, you can plug into that as well.
That's rather amazing.
Well,
so you can't run it. You don't have to go to a charging station.
That's right. A lot of people say someday you need to wait for either charging stations, and charging stations are going to happen, which are going to enable us to charge faster. But today you can get one of these electric vehicles that you can plug in any standard outlet that's either in your garage or perhaps it's at work, in a parking lot. You'd be surprised where you can find electrical outlets.
Now, why electric and not gas. I mean, it's obvious, of course, but I think it would be a good time to go into that at this moment since you're an expert on the topic.
Well, today, more than ever before, electrics are very, very important. And all we have to do is look at our current country economics. And part of that's related to oil. Oil prices, we have become addicted to foreign oil. And when I became first involved in electric cars in the 70s, we were only bringing in about 35% of our oil from outside the country. Now, 60% of the oil is coming from outside the country. Another reason is the environment. Everyone says we got to do something about global warming. Well, perhaps the single best thing someone can do is get out of a gas car and into an electric. And that's because the average gas car puts out about 10,000 pounds of CO2 per year. So if you really want to make a difference in global warming, yes, you can change your light bulbs. Yes, you can get more energy efficient. But probably the best thing you could do is move from a gas vehicle into an electric.
I was rather astounded by your prices as well. I expected to see something like $20,000, and that's not what I saw on your website. These are reasonably priced.
Well, that's been our other premise, is a lot of people believe that electrics are the right thing to do. But conventional large automobile companies have been telling us that they're way too expensive. So what we have done is worked very hard to get the cost down and affordable. And as you mentioned, we have electric cars and electric trucks for as little as $10,000 or $12,000. Or if you want to start someplace, you can get an electric scooter for as little as $3,500. So it's about the price of a conventional gas vehicle so that there's no reason to wait anymore.
Well, actually, it's much cheaper because the conventional car, a really good car, is going to cost you way upwards of $15,000 or more over time and with all the interest and who knows what. It's expensive.
Yeah, and that's actually another reason people are moving to electrics. It's actually operating costs. Okay, operating costs of an electric car or vehicle is less than a gas vehicle. Now, a lot less when gas prices are high, but even where we currently are, around $2 a gallon, it's to operate a gas vehicle, the calculations are about 25 cents a mile right now. It's about 3 cents a mile to operate an electric vehicle on electricity.
3 cents versus 20?
Yes.
That's amazing.
And some of our guests are actually getting solar electric panels. And so in some cases, their charging is either free or partially free. So you can either plug into your solar system on your house or even get a special solar panel designed for your electric vehicle.
Well, let's say you live in a condo, as I do, and there are plugs in the back of the building. There are outlets for various things. Can you just put it into that and rev up your car?
Yeah, we actually do have people that live in apartments. And in some cases, the owner of the apartment said, sure, I want to promote you. Go ahead. It's not that much. In some cases, they put a little meter around there, and they found that, you know, literally it's just a few dollars a month. So, you know, in most cases, people have been promoting. In fact, some even large entities such as Costco and Walmart have been promoting it so much that they've been saying, come to shop at our place, and we'll let you charge in and plug in for free.
Oh, that's exciting. Plug in for free. Why don't we see more of these cars on the road, or are we about to see an explosion of these cars?
A lot of people don't know, but at the turn of the century, last century, we actually had a lot of electric cars. There were thousands of electric cars on the road. And then what happened was gasoline became so inexpensive that people kind of switched back to gas vehicles. But now I think you're seeing a new change, and all you have to do is not only look at the new change at the presidency, but you can look at what's happening in the automobile industry. You know, it's time to make the change to electric, and I think there's now beginning to be government incentives, government mandates to move into electric. In fact, what happened just recently under the last legislation that was passed, there's now a 10% tax credit for anybody that purchases an electric vehicle. So the government is really beginning to take steps to to both encourage and in some cases even mandate that electric vehicles be part of our everyday lives.
Is that a tax credit just this year, or is that going to continue?
That tax credit was passed just a couple weeks ago, and it continues for 3 years.
Oh. So that's excellent, because, for example, if you're paying off your current auto, as most of us are, then you can already think forward and say, well, as soon as that's paid off and I'm out of here, or sell it and just buy that less expensive electric car.
You're right. And now, and the electric car dealerships are beginning also to pop up across the country. And in many cases, they are, will even take in trade-ins of a gas vehicle toward an electric.
So I can trade in my car. Can I trade it in for one of your cars, or it has to be someone else's if it's one of those trade-in operations?
No. There's definitely dealerships that have that vehicle that will take mm-hmm. either a partial trade or, in, depending on the value, even 100% trade-in value toward an electric.
Well, how do you get in touch with those types of dealers? How do you find them?
Well,
are they on your website?
Yeah, if you go to our website, which is zapworld.com, we can help people in their wherever they live.
So it doesn't matter if you're in Florida or Maine or California, you can help them make the transfer from their own car, current car, to a Zap vehicle and save all that money.
That's right. And there's entrepreneurs out there that are beginning to understand. And, you know, we have heard, of course, in the news that conventional auto dealers are sometimes having a tough time. Well, some of those are beginning to listen up and say, hey, I want to be part of the new trend. And they're actually moving their dealerships into allowing electric vehicles. And because they're finding more and more different types of customers. I mean, some are perhaps people listening to the show. Some may be environmentalists. But a lot more just everyday fleet and government customers are beginning to say, wait a minute, I really don't drive 300 miles in a day. You know, I do a lot of short driving, especially stop-and-go driving. That driving is very bad on a gas vehicle, but an electric vehicle, there's no idle. So when you come to a stop sign, it's either off, or then when you accelerate, it's on again. So that's another reason electric vehicles are a lot more efficient than a gas vehicle, because every time you're in stop-and-go traffic, every time you come to a stop sign or a stoplight, your gas vehicle is still revving that engine. But an electric, it's either on or it's off.
Forgive me, because I haven't been in one, but how does it work? How do you know when your electricity has run down? The little meter that shows you, like the gas meter, does it, little light go off, or what do you do?
Yeah, it's a good question, but we have meters and gauges just like your gas gauge, only except they're electric gauge. So the electric gauge clearly shows you, you know, how much energy you have left in your batteries, so you can tell exactly how many miles you can go until you need to plug in again.
Now, what about your battery? Because, for example, I left my lights on the other day, and there was no car. Didn't start, had to be charged. What happens here?
Well, what's good about, if you ever make a mistake in gas, of course, if you ever not pay attention to your gauge and you run out of gas, well, you're out of gas. But the interesting thing about batteries is that if you actually ever made a mistake and if you let the car just rest a little bit, the battery's chemistry will kind of regenerate itself a little bit and probably get you another 2 or 3 miles so that you can then later plug in. So in a way, you can make less mistakes with an electric vehicle than you can with a gas. The other thing is people say, well, what's the closest outlet? Well, again, there's more electrical outlets in the country than there are gas stations. So it's a lot easier to find the next plug-in than it is actually to find another gas station.
It's really true, actually. There's plug-ins everywhere.
Right. I mean, if you keep your eyes on, of course, someone like myself, I'm always looking out for outlets, and it's amazing. I mean, a lot of times there's outlets even in lampposts and sitting in parking lots, and more cities are starting to dedicate a few parking spaces in their municipal parking lots, and power companies are setting up power so that they want to encourage electric vehicles. So you'd be surprised how many different places you can find to plug in.
How does your car compete with the big guys, the Hondas and the Chryslers and Fords, when they're coming out with their hybrid cars, for example?
Well, I think what we're seeing is a big change in the industry. You know, what's happening is, you could almost say the same thing that happened when we were having horse and buggies. A lot of people that were making the horse and buggy saying, "Nah, my horse can eat any place. Who cares about a gas vehicle?" Well, almost all the horse and buggy companies didn't make the change. And so we had a whole new breed of companies that started up. And then the other thing that happened in recent history was, of course, typewriters. You know, a lot of typewriter companies said, who would ever want a home computer? You know, everyone needs it. And there was only a couple typewriter companies that made the shift to computers. So now, when we look at the auto industry, for years, conventional car companies have fought energy efficiency standards, have fought mandates for electric cars. And, you know, one of the first that did actually endorse it was Toyota. Toyota was one of the first companies that said, hey, we're going to make a hybrid. And today, Toyota is one of the healthiest automakers in the industry. So I think we're at a very interesting time in history where, you know, there are companies like Zapp and other electric car companies all over the world that are beginning to come out with electric, or you could say fully electronic cars, because electric cars are almost like computers on wheels. They have a solid-state controller that runs a solid-state, very efficient motor, and so they don't need gas. They don't need oil. They have a lot less moving parts. So I really think you're going to see a change in history right now, that there's going to be new and different types of manufacturers of electric cars and electric vehicles come out.
But from what you say, perhaps the hybrid car is going to be a redundancy even before it really hits the market and penetrates the market, because if I had a choice based on what you're saying between the hybrid and an electric car, I'm going for the electric car and saying, why would I want a hybrid?
You're absolutely right. There was a survey of hybrid buyers, and one of the questions they asked them was, why did you buy a hybrid? And they had environmental reasons and so forth. And one of the top three answers was, I couldn't buy 100% plug-in yet. So you're exactly in sync with a lot of consumers. One of the things consumers like about electrics is they don't have to go to a gas station. You know, when people were talking about the things they don't like to do, going to the gas station was up there with going to the dentist. People don't like going to a gas station. So imagine never having to go to a gas station again, just going to your garage and plugging in your car just like you plug in your phone at night, and then the next morning it's fully charged.
But tell me, why are they saying that they couldn't find 100% plug-in when, in fact, you've been there for years and probably others, but when I saw your cars, I was shocked. They're so beautiful.
Well, most and, people
well,
are.
You know, why do they say that?
Well, again, some people said, you know, the machine, the oil machine, has been trying to push its old ways for a long time. And you know, this country still is one of the few developing countries that hasn't signed the Kyoto Global Warming Treaty. So, you know, there's a lot of politics behind why we haven't seen electric cars yet. But I think those politics are starting to change. You know, the very first time we have kind of a nationwide 10% tax credit to encourage all types of electric cars. A lot of times, early tax credits were only to promote certain types of vehicles. But the new tax credit that just passed is for two-wheel electric vehicles, three-wheel electric vehicles, four-wheel electric vehicles. So it's really kind of the first time in history you're seeing supportive of all these different types of vehicles that are coming out. So I think for years, you know, the large automobile companies, the large oil companies wanted to keep things the way it was. You know, they wanted to keep America and the rest of the world perhaps addicted to oil. But if you look at what's going on in other countries, and this is another thing that most people don't understand, because a lot of people say, oh, look, China's polluting the world. What are they doing about it? But what people don't understand about China, there are already 10 million electric bikes in China. Because what China did was said, we got to start doing something about our pollution problems. And one of their fastest growing polluters was the little motorcycle. Because as people got more money in China, they went to a bicycle, and then they went from a bicycle to a gas-powered motorcycle. So China said, okay, we're going to start encouraging and pushing electric vehicles. And so they started in the class where most are being sold, and that's in that electric motorcycle. So now there are millions and millions of electric bikes on the road in China. So that shows you that if a country wants to change, they can make a change. And I think in 2009, for the very first time, we're seeing a shift where the administration is now understanding that renewable energy is important, solar is important, and electric transportation is important.
Now, what I think most people will want to know is how safe are these cars compared to the Toyota, for example, standard Toyota, very safe car.
Yeah. All vehicles sold in the USA have to go under the same Department of Transportation, what's called the National Highway Transportation Safety Authority. Okay, they all have to go through the same regulations. So if you sell a vehicle in the USA, you must meet those standards. Now, some of those standards have perhaps prevented some of the foreign smaller micro cars in the past from coming into the country. If you go into Europe, you see probably 50 different cars that you never see in the USA. But, you know, as the standards are there, they are there for safety. And as people are looking at vehicles, you know, we're looking at ways with composites and other technologies to make them just as safe as a conventional heavy steel vehicle. And you're starting to see, again, for the first time, some smaller cars that were originally designed for the European market to come into the USA. And the reason we have so many different types of cars in Europe is because, you know, we complain when gas goes to $2 or $3 here. But today in Europe, gas is still $5 and $6 a gallon. Today, yes, even after the prices went down, at the height of our summer, gas prices were hitting double digits in some countries, as much as $10 a gallon in some countries in Europe.
I should think that they would not walk but race toward electric cars if that's the case, and obviously it is. So why isn't there almost a flood of people demanding them?
Well, in as we talked about, in Europe, there actually is a lot more demand and a lot more government support. In some cities in Europe right now, they give you free parking if you have an electric vehicle.
Ooh,
they give
that's
you free,
nice.
No bridge tolls if you have an electric vehicle. In some cases, free registration if you have an electric vehicle. So I think, you know, this country is slowly waking up to see what other people are doing in other countries. And so I think the shift, like I said, has finally happened. I think you are going to see more and more electric vehicles happen. You know, and this, I think 2009 will be the turning point where you're going to all of a sudden, as you rightly mentioned, an explosion of all types of electric vehicles come to the marketplace. Now, there's also another competition that's going on that's called the XPRIZE. And the XPRIZE is a worldwide competition that's, again, trying to find the most interesting high mileage or pure electric vehicles. And it's creating all types of new concepts to come to the market. So it is a very interesting time in history. You know, I think economics, of course, we're seeing as an interesting time in history. But all this is actually for the good for transportation, because we earlier talked about, you know, the environment is a very important issue, global warming is an important issue, and the best way to solve those issues is also to go to an electric vehicle.
Now, you have a truck that's three wheels. Is that correct?
Correct. We have both three-wheeled trucks and four-wheeled trucks. And some people say, well, why did you go to three wheels? Well, that answer is because if you go to China, you see lots of three-wheel vehicles. And then you go, well, why do you see them? And the answer is they were lower cost to build. They have one less wheel, one less tire, one less everything. And then some people say, well, going back to, well, does that make it tippy? And the answer is, have you ever really looked at an airplane? An airplane goes 200 miles an hour before it lifts off the ground and lands at about 180 miles an hour. An airplane is a three-wheel vehicle. And all you have to do is pay attention to one thing, and that's where you put the weight. And, you know, if you've ever gone on a flight where it's not full, a lot of times they may say, hey, we want to shift some people here and there. Because if you keep the center of gravity in the center, then it's one of the most, you know, even, stable vehicles there is. In fact, again, going back to one of our government agencies, the Department of Transportation, the fastest cornering vehicle they have ever measured to go over a race course is a three-wheel vehicle. So as long as you put the center of gravity where it belongs, you can make a very stable vehicle and lower cost.
But are all of the states in tune with this? Because the way that I found you was a very strange story. We won't go into it here, but it had to do with a company in Maine that had one of your vehicles, and I believe that their local authority wouldn't allow them to drive it on the road because they didn't understand that this really was, a full car. It was a truck, actually.
Yes, and one of the problems with the United States compared to Europe is the EU really is the European Union. The United States is really the undivided United States when it comes to automobile sales. So a lot of the states created their own laws, but slowly but surely, you know, most of the states have now recognized what the federal government has recognized. But Maine, for example, was one of those states that hasn't. Massachusetts has now changed their laws so that our vehicles and other vehicles like ours can be sold in Maine. And let's say Ohio was another state. So most of the states have now woken up and say, hey, our job is to promote green vehicles. Our job is to promote electric vehicles, not hold them back. So there are a few out there still that have archaic laws on the books, but, you know, a lot of people don't know, the very first motor vehicle law that was ever created was a law, again, created by people that didn't want to see gas vehicles on the road, and that was created by the horse and buggy industry, and they lobbied for this rule that if you had a gas vehicle, the only way you could drive into a downtown is you had to have a man wave a red flag, walk in front of the car, wave a red flag to warn the horses it was coming.
Oh, how funny. You've got great history there. I don't think one in 10,000 people, if even that number, would know that there were electric cars at the beginning of the century.
That's right. Even Mr. Ford was working with Thomas Edison to do electric vehicles.
Well, too bad he didn't continue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about the question? And I know it's been posed to you. Aren't you trading tailpipe emissions for power plant emissions? What's your answer to that?
Well, it's an important question to ask because people say, wait a minute, you got to get that electricity from someplace. Well, the California Air Resource Board, which really analyzed this, said even after you count emissions from power plants, it's still between 90 and 98% better than a gas vehicle. And then they went on to explain why. Number one is an electric motor. It's typically around 85 to 90% efficient, meaning it doesn't waste its energy. As we talked earlier, a gas motor is running all the time. It's running at stoplights. It's running at stop signs. It's running in stop-and-go traffic. It's also not a very efficient motor. In fact, by the time you get to the wheels, you're lucky if you have 20% efficiency. the reason a gas engine gets so hot and you need a radiator and a cooling system, that's all wasted energy. So the efficiency of a gas motor compared to electric, there's no comparison. The second reason is they believe that most people will tend to charge their vehicles at night when there's actually surplus power. And so what happens is, again, those generators that generate our electricity have to run all the time. You can't shut down a hydroelectric plant just because you're not using all the energy. You can slow it down, but you can't shut it down. So they're still running power, and then therefore that power is available at no extra emissions to recharge your electric car. So they did all their calculations, and they found that it's over 90% less polluting than a gas car, even after counting emissions from power plants. And for those people that are beginning to put solar panels on their roofs, what more and more of us are starting to do, you can be 100% energy efficient.
That's amazing. I'm so glad you came on the show, because I think this is eye-opening. I know that those who are in the industry and certainly who are surrounding you would be aware of this, but the general population is not aware of it.
Now, one of our main jobs we have to do is help educate not only the general public, but our government entities as well, because they are just slowly starting to learn that the technology has really caught up to the point that there's no reason that most of a government fleet, most of a public fleet, could be electric using today's technologies.
I can't see how they could justify otherwise based on what you're explaining today. They really can't justify it.
And that's the fun thing, is 2 years ago, we were approached by UPS, and everybody's heard of UPS. And during the holiday season, they have, of course, a lot more need for a lot more vehicles. And they approached us and said, well, you know, we think it would be a good statement for UPS if we could lease some of your vehicles and deliver some packages in electric vehicles instead of in gas vehicles. Well, what happened was, after the economists looked at all their internal numbers, they called us up and said, you know what, we did it because it was the right thing to do, but our economists are telling us we actually are saving money by using these.
Right.
Because they have found that, especially during the holiday season, they tend to pull out their older trucks that don't get very good gas mileage, and they found that they deliver a lot of packages, but usually the trucks go on very short routes. So they're, again, idling all the time, they're in traffic all the time, they're having to double park all the time. And they said, this just makes economic sense. And we're finding more and more people are realizing that, yes, it's not only the right social environmental thing to do, it's the right economical thing to do.
Are there other reasons besides that we should move into electric vehicles? And before you answer that, I just want to mention that I get angry when I see SUVs. And it's not the SUV that makes me angry. What makes me angry is the person that's driving the SUV typically is young and holding a cell phone in the other hand while they're driving, or putting on makeup, or doing something that they shouldn't be doing behind the wheel in this big vehicle. So my question for you is, the electric car, your car seem smaller, even the truck seems more compact and less threatening on the road. Am I wrong about that? Or
no, and I tend to travel to Europe a lot, and most of the vehicles in Europe are small. Most of the vehicles are energy efficient. Most of them get a lot better gas mileage. I mean, there are vehicles in Europe that you can go buy that get 70 miles to the gallon. There are more electric vehicles in Europe. So, you know, this country has kind of made some mistakes. And one of the reasons we have so many SUVs is because some of our largest auto manufacturers lobbied government and got exemptions from SUVs for average mileage mandates. You know, in this country, we were trying to promote average mileage standards. And what they did, they said, oh, SUVs should be exempt. Okay, so they got an exemption. So our gas mileage actually went down. The Model T from the 1900s and teens actually got better gas mileage than almost all SUVs on the market. So we went backwards. And now I think we're finally starting to see that people are waking up and they're starting to say, okay, maybe I don't need that big hunk of SUV out there, especially just to go to the grocery store and back. And I think, you know, it's a change. It's a slow change, but the change is now coming. And people are saying, yes, I want a more efficient vehicle. And of course, what happened was a lot of people abandoned USA Detroit-made vehicles. And one of the reasons Toyota actually became one of the most profitable car company was because they pushed their hybrid. And so people made a big shift where they turned in their SUV and went to hybrids. And now I think the next shift you're going to see is 100% plug-ins or plug-ins with larger battery packs and maybe a very small gas engine for perhaps. So in that case, they're going to use their electric battery storage system for all the in-city trips. And then maybe when they go on a long trip, maybe they'll fire up the gas side of the engine.
All right, because yesterday I saw something on TV touting the SUV hybrid, and really I think that we'd all be a lot better off with many less of those SUVs on the road, certainly in the cities, where you really don't need them, as you say, to go shopping or go to the movies. And I think that they're a danger to the road primarily because of the way people drive them and the types of people who are driving them.
Right. They become like they're in this giant building and they don't realize they're actually in a moving vehicle,
no.
Like you said.
Right. They're in a moving building. Correct.
Right.
Now, what makes Zapp think it can compete with the major automakers? How do you feel about that?
Well, we don't see ourselves directly competing. We see ourselves just carving out some niches that they don't seem particularly interested in. Maybe that's going to change over time, but right now, see, they're so focused on these large infrastructure projects that I think that's one of the reasons they got themselves into trouble. Meaning, they used to argue that the only way we can build a vehicle is we need to invest $1 billion and we need to sell 100,000 of any given model in any given year. So that was their attitude. Okay, now their attitude, of course, is changing a little bit. But our attitude is saying, look, we're going to just go after unique niches to begin with. You know, we don't have to sell 100,000 vehicles. We'll be very happy with just a few thousand vehicles per year. So what we're doing is trying to target what we believe are the nearest term markets, and we've mentioned some of those so far on the show. Fleet applications, okay, in-town applications, business applications. We have some pizza delivery people now using our vehicles, and they're getting free advertising on their vehicle just because it's a little different looking. And so people say, wow, look at that vehicle. We just had a guy who has a company called Pollo Loco who delivers chicken in his electric car, and people liked it so much that he ended up on the front page of a major newspaper recently. So there's the way we're approaching the market is there's niches of this market that nobody else is addressing, and those are the niches we're going after. And when people see these vehicles and actually try them for their own application, they're finding they really do work. I mean, we have some vehicles running around right now on Google. Plan, right? Because, again, they go from one building to the other. You know, rather than use a big gas vehicle for that application, they might as well use an electric.
We have some lovely pictures of your cars on rightsradio.com, and you're the feature article on the homepage today and this week. And if they go to your site, zappworld.com, they're going to see all of the different options, and I think it'll catch your breath because they're beautiful, gorgeous cars.
Yeah, people are really surprised. They're usually surprised by two different things. They say, wow, it's actually real comfortable. And you were asking earlier about what else they're really surprised at? They're usually surprised how quiet electric cars are. So the other side benefit that we could gain from as a society is our cities would be much quieter.
Oh, that would be lovely. We could think again. What types of people are buying them? What kinds of groups of people are showing up at your doors?
Well, definitely, you know, the environmentalists. You know, that environmentalist that may have put solar panels on their roof, that one that has already done the energy-efficient light bulbs, super-insulated their house, and now they want to make the next step. So that is one segment, because there's perhaps nothing you can do better for the environment than an electric vehicle. But the next two groups really are commercial applications. We have sold vehicles to cities. We have sold vehicles to government agencies. We have sold to water districts. We have sold people even for police enforcement, meaning when they get traffic tickets or when they get parking tickets, rather than run those gas vehicles idling next to you, they're coming up in an electric vehicle. What we're finding is universities. Many universities, where do they go? They go from one building to the other, or maybe they go from their building into town. So they don't go that far. And why should they have, as you mentioned, a 6,000-pound SUV to go 3 miles? It doesn't make logic. It doesn't make economic sense. So there are a lot of applications that make sense now. We also are beginning to sell internationally. And we have quite a big presence now in South America. Why in South America? Well, in South America, again, the population is growing, the population is slowly getting more affluent, and they don't have a lot of gas resources. So one of our distributors down there is actually an electric power company that's beginning to sell our electric bikes and electric scooters through their power bills. Just like some utility companies now sell energy-efficient light bulbs through their power bills, they're actually selling electric vehicles. And if you can't get bank financing, the utility company is beginning to finance the vehicle through the power bill. So they're just allowing you to pay for it once a month.
That's ingenious.
And we
really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we think it's a program that perhaps power companies in this country should begin to adopt as well.
Well, I was going to ask you about financing. Do you provide financing? Is it easy to get financing or just the same as anything else?
Yeah, it's similar to conventional gas vehicles, meaning banks are beginning to finance, credit unions are beginning to finance these vehicles. We are listed in the famous Kelley Blue Book now that people talk about for values of vehicles. So financing is beginning to be available for electric vehicles, just like a conventional gas vehicle. Insurance is now available through major people of insurance companies. Even the famous AIG that everyone's heard of recently has insured our vehicles.
What about Allstate and State Farm and the traditional ones?
Yeah, the conventional large insurance companies are insuring our vehicles. So they are becoming out there, and you know, we started in the West Coast where we are, but we just had a Hyundai dealer begin to sell our vehicles in New York City, for example.
But are there any discounts for having an electric car? Do you save money on your insurance?
A lot of times insurance companies are giving lower insurance rates than conventional gas because they have found that it goes back to perhaps your premise, is the person who's buying them seems to be a more conscious type of buyer, and so it seems like the accident rate is much lower.
Aha. Yes, the person who's buying... Now, the person who's buying that electric car, if they want to go on the highway and they want to go, you know, some long distance, maybe between two cities that are quite far apart, is there any problem?
Well, today, it all depends on battery cost. The lower-priced vehicles are limited range, but there are more expensive batteries that can give you longer range. So it depends on what people want to do. In a lot of cases today, a lot of people may buy an electric car or truck as their second or third vehicle, but then they actually call us back and write us, and we have some of those testimonials that say they actually are using it as their prime car, and then they only use that gas car maybe once a week when they have to go a long distance. So people psychologically, maybe I'll use that. But then their kids prefer to take the electric car. They get more thumbs up when they take the electric car. So what's happening is they use their electric car the majority of the time, and then if they have a second car, then they maybe take that gas car if they have to go a long distance that one day. Now,
but if they're going a long distance, they can still stop along the way and recharge.
That's right. That's right. And what you will see, that's the thing that will be coming, is that in the future you will see fast charging systems set up, so that you will be able to charge just as fast as a gasoline station. But you know, for today, there's many applications that make sense today, no matter what.
What is the industry going to look like in the near future? Are we going to see a profound change or a slow change?
Well, I think you're going to see a change is a lot more different, smaller companies appear. And again, I liken it to the computer industry. When the computer industry just started coming on to its own, you saw a lot of different companies all of a sudden pop up. And there's going to be winners and there's going to be losers, okay? But there's a lot of companies, and you're going to see a lot more variety of vehicles begin to hit the road over the next year or two than you've seen before. And then in the long term, everybody feels we have to move towards electric. So I think when you project out another 10 or 20 years, instead of being the minority of cars, I think you're going to see the majority of cars. And all you have to do is look at China, what they've done with gas-powered bikes. They made a shift in 5 years from gas-powered bikes to electric-powered bikes. And that shift happened because the government helped mandate it, because of consumer demand, and because of the environmental reasons.
But you've been doing this for quite a long time. You have a track record. You were at the, you know, you are one of the innovators and the highly regarded experts in the field. And frankly, I think even though there'll be an explosion of small companies, the buyer is going to want that comfort level to know I'm buying from somebody who's been there and really tested this out thoroughly over many years.
Well, I do think we're starting to get interesting endorsements. One of the most interesting endorsement we received recently was we now have an investor from Dubai. Now, you would say, Dubai, don't they have oil? Maybe they want to shut you down. well, Dubai is actually a very interesting country. I say it's kind of like Las Vegas, has no water. Dubai as a country actually has no oil. What they have is a lot of investors that come to Dubai to look for new opportunities. And we now have people that are saying, hey, we really believe that, you know, the future of transportation has to be electric. So we have a guy who really believes that's been working with us now from Dubai, and he's helping us move everything forward. And, you know, so I think we are, and, you know, tomorrow we have a big group coming in from China. So we're beginning to get some pretty interesting endorsements from all over the world. I mean, our little place out here in Santa Rosa is almost daily we have someone come in from a foreign country.
How about Russia and the former Soviet republics?
We've actually had some interest, even small little Slovakia, Bulgaria. So you'd be surprised how many different countries and entities. The other day we tracked the number of products we've shipped. Some have been electric bikes. Some might have been an electric scooter. Some might have the electric ATVs. And I think we're a little over, I think we just hit like 75 foreign countries now we've shipped at least something to.
So people around the world have woken up, but now we have to do so in America.
That's right. That's right. And even though I've been doing it a while, I really feel the most optimistic this year that I ever have, because, like I said, for the first time in my life, I'm seeing major shifts happen on the federal level.
You sound like a very happy guy.
Well, it's an exciting time to be around. People say about this industry that it's kind of like yourself. Once you see it, you go, wow, this is obvious.
Exactly.
This has to be, and that's our job. Our job is to do exactly what you're doing on this show, is let more people know that the technology exists, that we exist, and that you can be part of this mandated revolution that is happening. And there's a lot of ways of doing that, whether you get a vehicle yourself, you educate more people on it, you open a dealership. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can participate in it.
Well, this has been an eye-opener, and I want to thank you, Gary, for being with us today. It's a really exciting show, and we're going to be following you.
All right.
You're going to have a ton of people watching your progress and your exciting and beautiful cars. And again, thank you so much for taking time, because I know your time is really precious.
All right. Well,
you don't have much of it.
Thanks so much for spreading the word, because as I mentioned, that's an important part of all this as well.
Okay. Well, this is Dr. Joyce Starr with Rights Radio and the Rights Radio Power Hour, and it's been a pleasure to be with you today. And please join us in 2 weeks, the same time, 2:00 Pacific Standard Time, 5:00 EST on the Rights Radio Power Hour. Bye-bye.